Recording excerpted.
Okay, we are now at 9.
Christina, you had a good little morning, I'd say. So far, anyway.
Warming up, right?
Okay. So we thought that it might be a good idea just to go through our travel reimbursement and education tracking process and kind of why board members travel, what the process to get approved for travel is, filling out travel demand, and kind of the reason behind all of that. We do have some policies that tell us kind of why board members travel. So our fiduciary education policy provides that the board should develop and maintain an appropriate level of knowledge and skill necessary to administer the retirement system prudently. But we also have government codes that require this as well. So government code 31522.8 of the CERL requires that board members receive 24 hours of education within the first 2 years of assuming office and for every subsequent two-year period in which the board members serve on the board. Government code 53235 requires board members to receive ethics training within 1 year of assuming office and then every 2 years following. So some trainings are provided during board meetings, but sometimes travel is required to be able to meet those requirements of the 24 hours, since we don't always have an educational session during our board meetings. There's also other topics that are provided at training that we don't provide during board meetings, so it's good to be exposed to those other topics as well. We also have the travel expense reimbursement policy. So when this travel occurs, this policy sets the guidelines for how the travel is authorized, what type of travel that will do. It sets the reimbursement guidelines and delegates to the CEO the authority to approve staff travel. So the board approves their own travel, but then the CEO approves staff travel. So the travel expense reimbursement policy also says that the board is charged with defraying reasonable expenses of administering the system. So we're doing travel that is necessary for the system and at a reasonable cost. Reimbursement for expenses must not exceed that which is reasonable and necessary for the travel.
So on that point, Gabe and I had an impromptu ad hoc subcommittee meeting at Burbank Airport a couple of weeks ago as we were leaving after educational outing, and both had flight issues, delays, a cancellation. One of us switched an airport. So the question became the process by which the determination of what's reasonable is made. If, for instance, a flight that you're scheduled on is delayed for more than an hour. I think in his case it was going to be several hours. And the question is, knowing the consequences of switching a flight, at least on Southwest, there's not a change fee, but you pay the higher fare.
Southwest, if your flight is going to be delayed more than an hour, they will put you on a different flight, an earlier flight even.
It's not guaranteed, though.
Yeah, but
no, it's not guaranteed,
right.
But they will. If there's capacity, they'll move you.
Right, but I don't know if in the case we were dealing with, because this involved switching an airport, it wasn't that he was going to fly out of the same airport at a different time. It was the most expeditious option was actually a different airport.
Right.
So the question became, is there, what's the flexibility on the ability to change flights? I mean, I mean, I could argue this both ways, perhaps, but it seems to me having people sitting around in an airport for 2 or 3 hours is not an efficacious use of time. At least it's not for me. So, and certainly not Dave, as we discussed. So the question is, does the policy allow us now to change flights, even though that the consequence is a higher fare?
The policy doesn't speak to the changing of flights. We usually look to past practice to decide what we're able to reimburse or pay for when there's a changed flight. If the changed flight is occurring because the airport has canceled the flight or they're moving the flight somewhere else, then that's something that CSERA usually will pay for. If it's the traveling individual who's making the decision to change the time of the flight for whatever reason, maybe they thought the conference would end at a certain time, so they made a flight for that time, and then it ended up, you know,
earlier
or something like that. It depends on how much time that there is. Sometimes CSERA will pay for it, and that's something that our CEO would make the final determination on.
Based on what?
Usually she looks at past practice to see how long it's been, because there's nothing in the policy that speaks
okay.
to that.
I'll give you my case. I was at NASP, and I did talk to Gail on this one. So I asked for a final schedule. It ended up being a couple, 2.5, 3 hours earlier than what I thought.
Right.
So I went ahead and changed my flight. I called Gail, and she said, no, you can't do it. You be nice, but you have to wait around 3 hours or something, and I didn't agree with that. In the meantime, my flight got delayed 2.5 hours. So going from LAX, I went to Burbank Airport. And it costs $112. So I'm always booking immediately to get $69, $79 flights.
Right.
The option would be to do it anytime and not worry about it. So we're not abusing this, I don't think. You know, we're doing the best. So I hate to pay $112 because it was something out of my thing. And I don't want to wait 2.5 hours, 3 hours in an airport. So I think that's within reason that a trustee should be in reverse in a situation like that.
And I think that it's, for me, it's a balancing act between, okay, what's prudent for the plan, and, you know, I don't want to cause unnecessary harm to the trustee
right.
doing the travel as well. I mean, we need to accommodate you in your travel, but I think it's also a balancing act on, is this something that was imposed on the trustee from the airline? Did they cancel a flight? That kind of thing. Or is it something that is, you know, internally directed? And so, and it's kind of a case-by-case analysis that's done when this occurs. But, yeah. And I would say that I haven't seen instances of abuse or anything like that when it comes to this topic.
In the interest of full disclosure, I think we should know that Gabe's flight was routed through Maui.
Yeah, right.
And lay over there for a week, which would have raised my suspicions.
If your flight was delayed 2 hours, Southwest didn't offer to put you on an earlier flight?
Well, they don't. You can go there and do standby, is how I understood it.
Uh-huh.
But it's not guaranteed, where I could have went to Burbank and got a guaranteed one.
Okay.
That was my choice. So I took the bird in the hand, we're two in the bush. Again, I book early. I mean, I'm trying to do the best I can with our money.
But I think, to me, the operative word is reasonable expenses.
Right.
And,
you know, in your situation, I don't know that that's unreasonable. I mean, again, I guess that's why we let Gail be the referee. But
Christina, our form doesn't have any natural way to spell out something like this with enough detail so that it would, I think, be clear. What would you want to see, and how do we deal with that where there are 3 or 4 lines to describe flight canceled, moved, elected to go to a separate airport, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, you can say it fairly clearly, but trying to type all that in our form wouldn't work very well.
I can give you a case with me. I had to change flights. There was no cost difference, but it said on the form, on the Southwest thing, it said taking funds from another flight. So accounting asked me to give an explanation of what I did, and I just said, well, again, no cost difference. I just changed, I think it was a day or something on a flight time. So I did have to give an explanation one time as to why there was a change on there.
And usually when we know of it, we put a notation. We don't necessarily write it on the form, per se. A lot of times it's in the backup.
I'm just asking what you would want to see. I guess the other thought I've got is that these are public records.
Yeah.
And so whatever it is that's on that now is available in a public forum, and we want to make sure that obviously it's complete enough to.
For those of you new to the board, these public records get requested.
Yeah.
About every 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we normally have done is that once the trustee has a conversation with the CEO and has received approval for that reimbursement, when we get the travel demand, the CEO will circle that item and sign approved. So not only are they signing the bottom of the form approved, but they also circle that item as approved. So it's not something that's actually a part of the public record to go through this big long thing of the flight was delayed and then it was canceled or anything like that. So it's really that approval signature that we put on the demand.
To Scott's point, though, I like to see something in the policy. So there's some sort of a guideline. I can say, okay, if my flight is delayed X amount of time, and it's a reasonable cost, not $400 or $500, I get that.
Okay.
I think that it should be because I feel like what I did should have been reimbursable because it was reasonable.
Yeah, and I can, especially since your flight was delayed, I mean, we can take a look at that.
But you wanted to find what's reasonable, too. Yeah,
except for that Maui.
The Maui hotel room.
Yeah. And for the record, that's a joke, and there wasn't actually...
You know, the reality is, you know, we, despite what someone might think, these are not pleasure trips. These are business trips.
Yeah.
We're required to travel. I guess I bristle at the idea that the decision about whether it was reasonable is made after you've incurred the expense. I have a problem with that. So I'd rather have a policy, and I'm not. It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
It's just the process.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it seems to me you could have better clarity, and then everybody understands what their options are or aren't, right? Rather than wondering, well, it seems like I can do this, or in Gabe's situation, he was tortured between going to LAX and sitting around for a couple hours or going to Burbank.
Well,
it seemed to me logical.
Here's the question. Would you like us to come up with a dollar amount to say, you know, you'll be reimbursed for reasonable expenses if for, you know, situations that are outside your hands that do not exceed $150 or $250 if you have to make a judgment call and you write a written response, that will be deemed sufficient? Or do you want to have some other policy, the hotline you call when your flight gets canceled or something else? What are you looking for?
Well, I'm not looking for the triage call. So I think for me, it'd just be that the policy, and I didn't try to take a stab at the policy and redline it short of the discussion. Gabe and I talked about wanting to have this discussion, and lo and behold, I get the agenda package, and here it is.
So it
was fortuitous to kind of bring it here. So I'm happy to take a look at it and take a stab at it and submit it to Gail.
Yeah, because I agree. I mean, in your situation, that is a problem. You don't want to be stuck there for 6 hours.
It's a Hobson's choice.
And it's to me, it sounds like a reasonable expense, especially since you started out with a $59 fare or whatever you started out with.
Yeah, I think it was like the whole flight was like $212 or something total both ways.
Well, and then you should have gotten reimbursed for your $59 that you
did. The
use.
Difference was $112.
Yeah, the $112. Right. Yeah, I mean, to me that seems like a reasonable when it's justifiable because a change of flight and all those other things. It wasn't just a whim on your part.
Right.
So maybe come up with some language if you.
Yeah, I'll try. I just, you know, we just wanted to have the discussion in the interest of transparency to talk about it here, and then I'm happy to take a stab at it. You know, Gabe and I can collaborate and see if we can come up with something to, you know, give to Gail and Christine and see how it looks.
And the travel policy is one of the policies that we're looking at revising this year, so it's probably an appropriate time, and we can take a look at adding some verbiage where it gives you additional guidance, but provides some flexibility for those scenarios that might come outside of what we put in policy.
Yeah, we could, you know, you could overthink this to death, and we could come up with the most likely scenarios, and you'll have three options for what you know you can do as a trustee when you're traveling your staff, but then there'll be the fourth thing that nobody thought about, right?
Yep. I'm going to throw in the fourth thing,
because
this just happened to me on another trip, not Cicera, that when you, if you do end up writing language on this, that you include that it is foreseeable that there will be a delay, because this happened to me. I was in Washington D.C. when the nor'easter hit a few weeks back, and we were notified by United 2 days in advance, we're probably going to cancel all these flights. Right. So you may want to change your travel plans. And so I ended up having to change travel plans, but ended up on a flight that was more expensive. Uh-huh. They didn't charge me a change fee, but they charged me for the more expensive
flight. Did you read the fine print about if you refuse to get off the plane?
I knew
what the response was going to be.
It was United.
I know.
Yeah, Gabe and I were at the opposite end of that transaction. We were trying to get to New York, I think, and I went through four iterations. Mm-hmm. I literally booked and had four flights canceled. But
I got
the earliest
there
cancellation was about 3 days prior, and then it just
snowballed.
You know, different policies.
Snowball.
Yes. Yeah, okay. You're better than that.
Literally.
Okay. Well, we'll try to come up with something, and we'll give it to Gail and Christine, and we'll just help that to facilitate the policy discussion.
Good. Thank you.
Okay.
So how Warm Travel is approved is it comes on the agenda just like we have one today. As staff get items through the mail or email that we see are regularly on the agenda for travel, we'll put them on the agenda. If there's something a board member sees that maybe we haven't seen that you're interested in having put on the agenda, then you can provide that to us and we can put on the agenda as well.
To that, do we send it to Gail or to you, or who do we send that to?
Either one of us is fine. So both of us will get it on there. Sometimes it goes to Luz, too, because as you know, Luz does all of the travel.
Yeah, I usually send information or questions and so forth to Luz, and then it gets to you guys as needed, right?
Yes. And once the board votes on it, what they're approving is the authorization is granted if there's necessary funds available, if the program includes subject matter directly related to retirement issues, and the retirement association benefits from the attendance. So we wouldn't want to have a travel item that is not related to the retirement system in any way. There's not going to be any cooking classes.
Got it.
And how many board members can be approved to attend a conference? It's really a question if the conference is open to the public or not. So this speaks to the Brown Act and how many people we can send. A lot of the conferences that we have are closed conferences, so that's why when you guys are voting on something, we'll count how many board members have said they would like to go and try to make sure that it's not more than four. If it's an open conference, then we can do more than four. And some of those conferences that are open are the CalIPERS General Assembly and SACRS, the conferences they have twice a year. So when those occur, we can send more than four. But when you go to these open conferences, you don't want to be talking about CICERA business at the conference.
Well, to clarify that, you don't want the members to get together and talk about an item that is coming up. Then that would be an established CICERA board meeting.
Right. So now that the travel was approved, now what happened? So during the board meetings, when you guys are saying I might be interested to go to that, the admin staff in the room are writing your names down. And we're trying to track, okay, who do we need to contact for the travel? Once we have those names, then you'll receive an email, unless you email Luz first. She'll usually email. If she hasn't heard from you, you'll get an email saying, hey, you raised your hand as being somebody who would like to go to this. Let's start working out the travel arrangements. If there is a travel where there's just open spots, she'll wait to see if somebody says, oh, I wasn't at the board meeting, but I'm really interested in going to that. Are there any available spots? Or she'll send out an email to everybody, say, hey, there's a couple available spots. Is anybody interested? So that's why during that time, you'll see us kind of watching you very closely because we're waiting to see who do we need to write down to get the travel arranged. We try to book travel as early as possible because, like Gabe mentioned, the earlier you book it, the cheaper it usually is, especially with flights. And we try to book at the conference hotels for the block rate that they usually get, which helps save some money as well. We can make travel arrangements using the Cicera credit card, so we do have a Cicera Visa that we use for booking travel. I know there are some board members that prefer to use their own credit card, and that's fine. We just need to know beforehand so that we don't book it on the Cicera card. Lou's mainly administration will complete all of the registration, so you can book your flight and your hotel, and then they'll do the registration part with the whoever is holding the conference.
Does that make a difference one way or the other? If does it look better if Cicera's making the flight arrangements and all of that putting it on their card versus someone doing it themselves? Does it add to the public trust at all, or do you know that Cicera's handling this for the individual?
I think where it helps is if you have a flight cancellation or you end up having to cancel a hotel stay less than 24 hours and there's some sort of credit that's returned, then it's returned to Cicera. If you put it on your own card, then it's returned to you, and we have to track, okay, do you have any sort of credit on Southwest, because we want to make sure that you use it for Cicera business in the future.
Right.
Because Cicera has reimbursed that cost, so it should be used for Cicera business.
So for the flights, I mean, I think I just let Cicera take care of that. But and then in the hotel, that's reserved with the Cicera card, but then we actually put our own card there when we arrive. And
Yeah.
Well, they require a card. So, for example, down at Monterey, you had booked, not right. you, but Luce had booked it. And right. so then when I checked in, though, they wanted my own personal credit right. card. And so at the end of the day, I ended up paying for it with my credit card, which was fine. But just, I don't think there's a way for you to pay for a hotel
there is.
For it.
There is. Yes. There is a way.
There is. And we're actually, in most cases, we are completing a form and giving them the credit card info so that the room charges can go on that card. And then when you check in, you give the card, and that's usually for incidentals. And sometimes you have to remind them, say, hey, you know, you should have the room charges on the different card. This is only for incidentals.
Okay.
And they will actually charge it separately.
Because Monterey was a good example, because they did not give you the choice.
Yeah. No,
they
just
wanted a card.
It's probably because staff did not send the form.
Yeah, they always want a physical card that they can run.
There's usually, every hotel has a form.
Yeah.
That if we could get staff to just automatically always request the form and fill it out and send it in, that would make it a lot easier. When we get there, it's there, and we can just remind them that it's there.
Yeah.
But I've encountered that as well.
Which is fine.
I don't see that as a problem. I mean,
Christina, there is a, first I was going to say, in the cards, many of us, certainly one, uses a mileage card. Mm-hmm. So I'm perfectly happy to have it on my card
and
reimbursed. So,
right.
You know, from a practical, personal point of view. But there is an ad out. I've been hearing it for the last couple of weeks. Maybe others of you have as well, where somebody is offering this radio ad. Do your booking for your travel and hotel through us. And they're wonderful for business, and we give you an Amazon card of $100-$300. which sounds to me like an absolute design to put it to your employer. Obviously, if they can give out those cards, they could reduce the price by that same amount. They elect not to do that, but to give you an incentive to book through them. Have you run across this yet? And I'm bringing it up. This is obviously sort of a natural time to do it, but I suspect that they won't be the first ones, and this will be something that comes along.
The difficulty, I think, I have not heard the ad, but if you're booking then on your own credit card and you're going to get reimbursed for that hotel expense, but you also picked up the $200 gift card, that's a problem. Now you made $200 system.
Well, that's right.
That's what he's getting at.
Okay. In any event, it clearly is designed to give your employer a higher invoice amount, and you then get effectively a commission for expensing it at the higher amount. I mean, that's what this is all about.
And this is before you use the minibar.
or give the card to the system.
Yeah, so I haven't heard this most recent ad.
I think it's on Bloomberg Radio, so anyone wants to listen.
But obviously, someone shouldn't be deriving a personal benefit from conducting work or business. And even with our cards that we get credits on, it goes back to Sisera to pay for something else. We're not, you know, individuals aren't benefiting.
Would you repeat that again, please? Even what?
So even the credit that we'll get from the credit card company that we're using, it goes back to Sisera to get applied towards some other charge that we've charged. So the person doesn't receive a personal benefit for that.
So Gail, would you prefer Sisera travel?
If we get mileage for our credit card, for Sisera's credit card, then you get to use those miles for Sisera travel.
No. So the Sisera
Oh, a refund that comes.
So the Sisera credit card that we have, we get a cash refund for using it.
Okay.
And that cash refund goes back to the card. It doesn't.
I didn't know that. That's why
someone
I was
doesn't
trying to,
benefit from that.
Okay. It's like the Costco card.
We're not getting free toasters or anything like that.
So. No, well, some folks get in trouble for Sisera travel. I mean, so you know, you got to go to Washington, so you use it for him to go to Washington. That's what I was thinking. And then we use it for pleasure. Employees use it for pleasure.
Yeah.
That would be wrong.
We do have a no gift policy, which I think would cover some of this.
We do. I can't give a gift to any employees.
Well, outside vendors can't.
Oh, outside vendors.
So, Gail, for is there a preference from you with respect to how the hotel room is paid for? Should that be on the Sisera card, or then it's like bookkeeping? Whatever we have to pay for and get reimbursed for, that's just more things for you guys to look at, and so it takes up time and so forth. What's the preference?
So I personally don't have a preference between whether you have us book your flights and hotel and everything on the Sisera card versus using your own personal one. For me, it comes down to convenience. I know that some trustees, you know, prefer to do it on their own, and that's fine, and we reimburse, and that's why we're going over some of these guidelines today. And then some prefer just go ahead and book it, and then if I need to change a flight, I'll let you know, and you can take care of it. And so it's really for the convenience of our trustees. I mean, we don't want to do anything that's overly, you know, cumbersome for them. So it's, from my standpoint, I don't have a preference necessarily.
The hotel you charge card, wherever you get the receipt, it'll tell you who they charged it to.
I was going to ask that too. Now, if it's on Sisera card, we will get a copy to make sure that they're not overcharged. I want to make that's what I'm just thinking out loud.
We'll get a copy. What?
So, if somebody stays at a hotel and it's on Sisera card, will I, let's say, get a copy of the charges?
Yeah, when you check out.
Confirm them. So then, when you check out, you'd get a copy anyways. What you're saying? I just want to make sure there's no charges on that. Let's say, like the other day, I accidentally got charged for Gatorade as an example. I know
the old Gatorade
bar. I got reimbursed $5.45. But that's the kind of stuff I've always been concerned: is how do I monitor
what's getting charged to the card?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to worry too much about that because we actually, if we book a room and it's on the Sisera card and the Sisera card gets charged, if you don't provide a copy of the receipt showing the hotel charge, we actually call the hotel and get a copy ourselves because we have to match up what ends up on the statement.
Okay.
And if there's anything that looks questionable, you know, we follow up and ask about that. So that is done.
So transportation considerations, once again, it should be the most reasonable cost-effective rate and mode of travel. The mileage is reimbursed at the current IRS rate. Sometimes trustees would prefer to drive instead of fly, and drive could be more expensive, but maybe they're doing multiple trips in there, and that's fine. What you can do is contact Luz ahead of time, and she calculates out what you would be reimbursed for driving versus flying or vice versa. And then we'll let you know how much she's going to reimburse for that. And you'll have an idea before you take the trip. And then that backup gets attached to your travel demand once you submit it.
A good example of that, I noticed we're in Palm Springs. You take out, do I fly SFO Direct United there? Do Southwest and rent a car and weigh those two out as an example of that.
Exactly. Yeah. And Luz has a sheet that we've created in Excel where she can do the analysis to take into consideration different tips along the way and different costs that we're used to seeing a lot of. So we remember those things.
Christina, is most reasonable and cost-effective a longer term, meaning the same as economy class?
It comes from the travel policy, and I think the travel policy does say economy class for part of it, unless the flight is longer than 6 hours.
So I guess taking one longer than 6 hours, you're going way too far.
Yeah.
And nowhere in the policy does it allow for business or first class travel.
So as we talked about with the hotel, if Cicera uses their credit card to hold the room, they will still ask you for your credit card and driver's license for any incidentals. You can have them charge that Visa. If you had any non-reimbursable items like in-room movies, meals for anyone that's, this says employee because we did the same presentation for employees, but that should be board members. Alcohol, personal clothing, anything like that, because it's charged to the Visa card, then when you return from your travel, you should write a check to Cicera to reimburse that cost.
But if the in-room movie was on Wall Street or something like that, that's relevant material, right?
That's so much. Yeah. David, that would not be relevant.
You're rubbing off on them.
So meal considerations as far as getting reimbursed. Don't reimburse for the mini bars in the hotel rooms. They're pretty expensive.
$12 Gatorades.
And as kind of a benchmark, we look at the travel time. So if you're traveling during dinner, you know, even that, if that's, you have a really late flight, you know, and you're in the airport, then we'll reimburse for dinner. If it's really early, there could be morning. So during that travel, we do reimburse for the meals. Tips on meals are up to 20%. And the maximum amount that we can reimburse per day is $100. So for all of the meals that you have in the day, that does not include the tip. And then we don't reimburse for any alcohol. So if you get alcohol at dinner, you would need to pay for that on your own. Or if it was on a Cicera credit card, like you went to the hotel restaurant there, then you would need to provide a check to Cicera to reimburse them for that cost.
The 20% tip is on the pre-tax?
We take it from the taxed amounts, so we are a little bit more generous.
Okay, because I usually do the tax amount, so I round it off. I mean, I don't...
Yeah, so we do it on the tax amount, but I know some of the hotels now are putting on the bottom of the receipts, you know, here's what 10%, 15%, 20% looks like, and that those numbers down there are on the pre-taxed amount.
Right.
But when we look at what we're going to reimburse, it's on the full tax amount because we assume people are just looking at the total bill.
On the meals, if we charge it to our room, will you get a detail of what it is?
We don't get a detail. It shows up on the folio as an in-service room charge for a meal. And then we can call the hotel and ask for the itemized receipt for it. If you are the one receiving, and it's easier for you to ask for that receipt when they deliver your food, which a lot of times they'll do, and then you can attach that to your travel reimbursement, or if the whole thing was charged on the Cicera card, just give us the receipt.
Right. So I'm just thinking, you're not going to see, I'm talking about, let's say you go to the restaurant, the hotel, it's not going to give you certain details, so we'd have to include that as well.
Yeah, right. If you get that at the table, yeah. We can call and they will get it for us, but it's faster if you can provide it.
But you need to see the itemization to make sure that there's nothing.
As we're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, all of the mail receipts need to be itemized.
Yeah. You were buying three breakfasts for your neighbors.
Yeah.
Your children who came on the trip with you or something else.
Crazy the scrambled eggs from Bloody Mary.
I'm just wondering if you guys have thought about changing this policy to a per diem type of policy and the amount of staff time it would save in not going through and calculating to the 25 cents all of these receipts and trying to collect them, because I know I've actually, there have been situations when I was traveling a few years ago a lot where staff will come back and adjust a receipt by $1.25, and it's like, you know, there seem to be an awful lot of time spent on this issue of approving each of these individual expenses that go on these sheets. And what I know other boards will do is just use the federal per diem rate. And if you're at a conference that provides breakfast, like SACRS typically provides breakfast and lunch and sometimes dinner, then those meals are deducted, and it's all federal standard. Those particular meals that are provided by the conference are deducted off of the per diem rate. And it would certainly make things a lot easier for me, not having to collect receipts, and I would imagine it would save us an awful lot of staff time to do it that way.
But then you wouldn't be able to regulate the alcohol part of it.
It doesn't matter. You're not even turning in receipts.
Right.
You're just getting a flat rate for your meals, and that's it.
Well, I'm just thinking when the public could say, well, we gave them $100, but...
I'm telling you, this is how other public agencies do
it. Okay, that's it.
No, that'll engender more suspicion on the part of somebody.
Well, that's
who thinks you're making money.
It's a transparency thing.
Absolutely.
And it is. It's a challenge. You know, county, we have pretty itemized details, too. We have maximum. We break it up by the day, and... Rusty, you could probably quote it better, but I think dinner's 35, and
right.
lunch is 25, and breakfast is 15 or something,
right.
and you can't exceed those amounts, but you still have to turn in a receipt for each and everything. And again, I think per diem, it would be much easier, but I think from a transparency standpoint,
right.
we probably just need to do it.
I think I was going to inject, too, like I'm lactose intolerant, so sometimes I cannot eat the meal there.
Yeah.
But I've already explained that. Gil's aware of that. So sometimes I can't eat the meal there.
Right.
And part of our travel policy is if you're at a conference and you're unable to eat the meals, or you want to go out to have your lunch instead of at the conference, even though they're providing it, we do reimburse.
Right.
That's not true for staff, though. We don't reimburse.
So other considerations as far as items that may be reimbursable.
Don't let that go.
We obviously reimburse any bridge tolls, porterage, public transportation, parking, airport transportation, taxi for business reasons, civil tips and gratuities. We encourage airport parking to be at the long-term parking. The short-term parking can get expensive pretty fast.
Long-term parking,
yeah.
too.
And
Espresso is really good, the parking place.
Yeah, right.
$7.99
That's an expensive call home.
Yeah.
So this is in our travel policy, just so people are aware. If you lose your cell phone or something on the trip, then the first call home is reimbursed up to $20, but any other call after that is not reimbursed.
I'm concerned about this item because sometimes I have to call back and apologize for the first call. So there should be at least one apology phone call allowance there. Sally, I'm sorry.
I don't know no one makes hotel calls. I mean, I would find someone with a cell phone to borrow before I'd use a hotel phone. But nevertheless, it's probably good to have it in there.
All right.
And as I mentioned before, keep all itemized receipts. It does really help us.
Christina, not ours, but somebody else's
that hasn't been updated since cell phones.
Describes
so.
Needing receipts for bridge tolls. You know, in today's world, I never get a receipt anymore.
Your fast track statement. I've actually had to do that, where I just print out my fast track statement and put it in when I've been.
Yeah, I don't get receipts. It's obvious. You have to go over the bridge. Yeah.
It's no longer required by the county.
Do you look at receipts on bridge tolls? Or
we don't. What we do is we pull up the bridge's website, and it'll tell you what the cost is at what time of day, and then we'll print that out and put that as backup.
Okay.
And that's how we confirm the cost.
Yeah. It's not like the olden days. Here's $5. Can I get a receipt?
Yeah.
And my point is how much staff time does that take to deal with attaching copies of bridge tolls for $5? I mean, soon to be $9.
What?
Really?
Yeah, someone's got to pay for BART, I understand.
BART
for the
Bay
Bridge?
Bridge tolls are going to go up. There will be a measure on the ballot for $3 bridge tolling.
Yeah, that's what they're talking. Yeah.
Yeah. Add that to the fuel tax.
So once the travel's been arranged,
yes, tax.
What happens next? Administration creates an itinerary,
And then the itinerary has all of the confirmation numbers for any of the travel that they booked for you. So if they booked your flight, you'll have the confirmation number on there to be able to check in for your flight, your hotel confirmation number. If you do your own travel arrangements and provide those confirmation numbers to administration, usually meaning Luz, then she can include those on the travel itinerary. You should also receive an email version of that travel itinerary. So if you lose that paper, you would be able to look up your email on your phone. Nowadays, a lot of people have their email on their phones so that you have it at your fingertips as well. And as I mentioned, you're responsible for checking in for your own flight. We do the early bird check-in, so hopefully that helps. And as I mentioned before, the credit card and ID, you'll want to bring that with you when you travel so that you can provide it to the hotel. And then you'll have a continuing education submission form. So this is how we track the educational hours that you do, and then that gets logged. So once we get the form to help track the 24 hours every 2 years, we put those onto a log, and we maintain that log throughout the year, and in January, it gets posted onto the website. So before we post it onto the website, we'll break up just your travel and send you a piece to say, this is what we have for your travel for the year. If you can look over it and let us know if we've missed anything. So if you've forgotten to turn in a form at that time, or maybe we didn't input a form correctly, that would be the time to get us the form or let us know that, hey, you're missing something here. I turned this form in, and we'll go back and check the files.
Just to add some of that, if I, we go to one of our investment conferences, I'll ask Tim or Jeff, how much of that was our investment, how much was not, because we can only get credit for the ones that are not our investment.
Correct. Yeah, so these educational hours should be more general, not specific to Sisera. So it's really getting that educational platform that you would need to administer the system, not necessarily the pieces of doing the administration.
Now, in those forms, I noticed that sometimes we get them when we get our travel packet and sometimes we don't. Is it possible to get them all the time when, with the travel packet?
Yeah, they should always be in your travel packet, and I'll just follow up with her to make sure that she does that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something? One of the things that would be really helpful is that when staff sends us the reminder and says, you know, you signed up for this conference and, you know, we're getting ready to book, or, you know, confirming that you're going and do you want us to book for you, it'd be really, really helpful if they could include the copy of some type of itinerary, timing, you know, at that time.
The agenda of
the agenda, if it's available, or at least, you know, the timing of, you know, it starts on Sunday at 2 o'clock and it ends on Wednesday at 2 o'clock.
That's in your board packet when it's approved.
It is in the board packet when it's approved, but the time to go back and look it up in the board packet when it's approved is incredibly time
you
consuming.
You know what I do? I always just go to
a simple procedure. If I'm approved for one, I take it out of the board packet and set it aside.
Okay. Well, you're way more organized than I am,
Jerry.
No,
the other thing I do, Debbie, is I just look it up online. And maybe if you're getting an email reminder, there could be a link to the conference packet.
Well, sometimes when it's approved by the board, there is no agenda. It's just a this date to that date.
Right.
And then as time goes on and we start to book travel, then we get it, we can get an agenda that says it starts at 2 o'clock on this day and you could actually fly out that day instead of the night before. Or if you're a person like me that makes, I make my own flights arrangements, okay?
Then you should just Google it. I mean, not to...
It is something that we can do, though.
Yeah. Well, we have staff, and I just thought it would be helpful if staff could be more helpful in that regard.
Yeah, they're already sending the email, so we can have
it. Yeah, just send a link to it, yeah. Or if they have it.
Luz does that pretty much, I think.
Yeah,
that's been my experience.
I don't get it, yeah.
I did my last one. I got a copy of the packet too, but yeah. Oh well.
So the travel is over and reimbursed. So we have a travel demand that gets filled out. You want to attach all of the itemized receipts, any hotel charge receipts, meal receipts. If the continuing education submission form applies, you would want to submit that at the same time. You can even attach it to the travel demand. And if you have a certificate that was provided, you give us a copy and we can put it in your file, because each trustee has a file here as well where we keep all of this paperwork. And the policy also provides that at the next board meeting, the board member will provide any pertinent information obtained at the conference to the rest of the trustees. But if multiple board members attend a conference, then only one of them needs to report out on it.
I don't do this. I think realistically, by the time we get the board trustee comments, pretty much everybody's ready to leave. So I really don't know how pertinent this is.
And it could be something that when we look at the travel policy, we look at.
But I think you're required to, by state law, to make a report when you travel. Well, maybe it's just when you travel out of state or if it's out of your jurisdiction. I don't recall what. But on all of the boards I sit on, if we travel and we're reimbursed for it, state law requires you to provide a report of what. How you spent your jurisdiction's money.
Okay.
In essence.
And I don't mind. I know at times you're very thorough. I enjoy it. But sometimes I'm here thinking of doing it. I can tell everybody's like packing. I don't want to keep everybody. But
you should. No, I think you're supposed to. And maybe someone wants to pull that up, whether it applies to CICERA or not. But I know for cities and counties, it's a requirement.
Okay.
And it may not be.
We'll take a look at it, though.
Okay.
And see if it applies or not.
I always enjoy your reports, kid.
Well, John's very good.
I'm and like, I'm always
I feel
good.
Like I've been, like I've been there when he gives a report.
So then, speaking of the travel demand, we have an example travel demand.
This one I gave?
Yeah.
So you can take pictures of your receipts.
Is this Jerry's incorrect?
Yeah, looks like mine. When I'm just about thinking I'm going to...
There's wine stains on it.
So on the travel demand form, each board member has an employer. For the board members that work for the county, then it would be the same employee number you have with the county. When you put that in there, it automatically populates the name and the department being board. And then for the from and to, it's going to be your home, not necessarily like the address, but the city or state from where you have your home address on file with CICERA. So if you live in Concord and are traveling to Sacramento, then you would just put Concord to Sacramento. But it may have been that you stayed at your child's house in Vacaville and then went to Sacramento. You would still put Concord to there because that's the address we have on file for you. And then it's helpful if you put the conference training name and then the location where it was at. So the city and the state and the dates of the conference.
One thing about that, I was hoping to put another line on top because it takes up like three lines sometimes. And then sometimes it forces you to go to a second expense. So I was going to ask about that. They could put something to say what it was, you know, Sackers Spring Conference, something. If that makes sense.
That would be Henry's department. Do you think that they could put something on the top that just says location of conference?
And even start date time or something?
Absolutely. The more info, the better. Yeah. We're user friendly.
So on the right side, this is where you're putting the information that you're going to get reimbursed for. For meals, you want to break them up. So instead of combining in that day your breakfast, lunch, and dinner all into one total amount, we want to see it broken up so that it matches that receipt, so that itemized receipt for each one. Tips and gratuities, as we mentioned before, we don't need to have receipts there. They're going to be in the other expenses area. And the travel, at the top you see claim month year. This is going to be not the date that you submit the reimbursement form, but the date of the travel.
I can add something to this. So I was wondering too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like right now you've given 3 days goes with like Burbank and other thing.
Yeah.
And then so everything that's on this side here, I put in this column. So I put a purpose because it says lunch, but here maybe taxi.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure why you have to do different spots kind of a thing.
So if you put lunch here, and then you have the amount of the lunch here.
I'll put it here, but then I have to go down the line. I'll put taxi here.
Why
do we even have that
column? You can put it here.
This is ridiculous.
That's what I
right
do.
Next.
So why not?
I don't have time to do this.
Well, we are actually looking at some electronic alternatives.
That would be great, because it would be great if I could just send the receipts to somebody, to staff, to do this form, because the amount of time I spend doing this, I don't get paid to travel, and then I don't get paid to do this. Some people on this board do. Some people on this board have staff members. It's very difficult for me to sit and break all this stuff out, and I don't think I should have to do that. So if I could just send my receipts on to a staff person to do all this, that would be much easier.
I'm getting mixed messages, Deborah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. You're on the same side. You're concerned about the staff members here, but you want to put all your receipts in a shoebox and send them. And have them do
it. I'm sorry, what?
I mean, you want to put all your receipts into a shoebox and send them in here.
Yeah,
and
have somebody's. What's wrong with that?
But you don't want people on this end messing around with receipts because it's a waste of their time. You just want to produce.
I'm looking for an easier way to do this on both sides, okay? And I proposed earlier the per diem because that would save both sides time. If that's not an acceptable alternative, I should be able to just send my receipts to staff and have them complete whatever form they need, the way they need it, to get it through your process.
So as Gail mentioned, we are looking at ways to try and make it easier, and it could be a software or something that's smartphone-based where you could take pictures of receipts and have them sent to us, and then the software creates the travel demand. So we're hoping that within the next 6 months, if we're able to get there, that you will have something easier.
That would be great.
I was trying to think of why I hadn't turned one of these in about a year, and I think this is all coming to light.
That's the same for me.
I'm well behind on these.
I got to be honest, I don't find this to be that burdensome. I will say on my bucket list is to have one that's done perfectly before I retire from the board.
Change my mind. I think they are going to drag you off.
But I do not find this process to be that burdensome.
Okay. I'm going to let United drag
you off. It's a function of time, Jerry. If you have time to do it, it's great.
Sometimes we do back-to-back conferences. Do you want a separate demand for each?
We do. It helps.
You don't want us to group them.
Too much fun.
Right. It helps with the public records request. So depending on the types of travel that we get a public records request for, if they're on separate demands, then we're not having to redact information from a travel demand when we give them copies.
Okay. On your meals, you know, you put the meal down. What I do is I put with a purpose and put like, okay, SAC is right. And then I'll put like, if it's lunch, I'll put a new line, lunch. There, that's what you want, or just put it because you got the receipt, because I write on the receipt what it was for, too.
Yeah, and that is helpful. You don't need to pop it down a line. So if you have sackers here with the mileage, you could put lunch on this same row here. You don't have to then move down here because you have something written over here. But if you have the space and it's easier for you...
Right, because all I put is sack is one day, and then I put... Here to here, the travel. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, so if you have sackers,
I don't put every line.
Have your mileage, then you just have meal there, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, for the meals, you can just put the dollar amounts in there.
You don't have to worry about lunch, dinner. Okay.
No,
okay.
No, you don't have to do that.
The mileage for 2017 is different, so it's 0.535.
That's what that does up there.
That's for.
That sounds right.
Made tip?
53.5.
So for made tips you do, but
I'm sorry, I thought it was
for meal tips you include it in there.
0.535 now.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
We can make an easier form.
Henry? It's like normally you just bring it up. You could read it, but I'm in that.
Reminding me about this box up here for investments. You just check that box if the travel is for an on-site.
Can you wear one?
Right.
They said I could do that.
And then you have to.
Goes on Tim's tab.
Yeah. Right.
Two separate forms.
Same reimbursement. Two different. But
if you mix the same travel, an on-site and a conference, then you want to have your on-site charges on one travel demand and the conference charges on the other travel demand. If you have one flight, you go to the conference while you're there. You stop at a money manager, then so you only have one flight, but for two different things, you can put the flight on one of them.
Right.
And accounting will break.
I guess the only difference would be maybe a taxi ride, so you would want that on a separate one.
Well, if you're taking a taxi ride to the on-site, then that's part of the on-site. If you're taking a taxi ride the day you're at the conference,
no, I'm talking about sometimes we'd be
we're
at a
splitting hairs here. It's not necessary.
Yeah, it seems silly to have a whole other.
Yeah, just for the taxi.
Yeah, but you can work out, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is it's two different budgets, so that on-site, the taxi charge needs to go into the other assessment budget, not into the administration budget.
Okay.
So if we don't have it broken out, then we end up charging it to the administration budget instead of the investment budget.
Okay.
And if you ever have any individual questions or concerns, you can come to us and we can address it with you.
Okay. I think, are we all done?
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That was good.
Recording excerpted.